Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 14th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Fox himself, GameSpot's Timur Hussein.
Hello, Blessing. It is good to be here. I'm excited. It's been a while. We don't get to host much together, and I was caught off guard by being called Fox, and I forget that that is my nickname here.
You are our Fox.
I love it. I want that to spread outside of Kinda Funny, so people start calling me Fox a bit more. It's something I like. I always, you know, when you're a nerdy kid and you're like, oh, I'd love to be called Fox.
Yeah, I wish I had a cool nickname.
Yeah, nickname. I'd love to have someone shout, Fox! As I'm being stomped on by a giant in the Metal Gear. And one step closer to that dream at Kinda Funny.
You know? Oh, yeah. There you go. Hey, Blessing, that's what we're here for.
I want to plug something.
Oh, plug away.
Okay. So this morning, I woke up, and there was a knock at my door, and then a package on my floor. I picked it up, and it was some apparel. I'm rocking the brand new Kinda Funny sweatshirt, which, let me tell you, Blessing, it is nice.
It looks comfy.
Firstly, the black on white is incredible. Like, I love it. It works for my vibe.
People always ask, like, hey, why do people always put out black merch? Like, why is black merch always the thing? It's always the black shirts, the black sweatshirts. Dude, Barrett's on the store page right now, and
honestly, like, that's my style. Like, I've only recently started wearing colors. And every time I wear black on white, I feel safe.
Black just looks good.
It looks great with everything. And this thing is nice. It's good quality. And I love the design, the simplicity of the design. Just like the Kinda Funny logo, the smiley face, and then the date at the bottom. It is on the Kinda Funny store. Make sure you go there and get it. I will say, I was very kindly gifted this by the Kinda Funny crew.
I was curious. I was like, maybe it's because he paid the money and actually bought it. Because I've not seen the new merch. I don't have the new merch, and usually it's very easy for me to get the merch. Because Joey Noel is usually
the one and only Joey hooked me up, so I love it. But I'm gonna go back there, and I will buy at least one item for myself as well, because I like to support. Obviously, I'm gonna support as much as I can, so I'm gonna be getting one. If I recommend it, trust me, it's worth it.
Tim, we've talked a lot about the black colors for apparel. I want to know from you, is there a color that you usually gravitate to aside from black that works for you? Because I know purple. People talk a lot about, like, oh yeah, this color is my color. This color looks great on me. I don't know if I have a go-to color yet. Like, I experiment with different colors of clothes. If you're an audio listener right now, I'm wearing a green and white polo because I'm feeling wild today. And also, we're hitting the links later.
It also kind of looks like you could put on one of those hats with a propeller on it and you'd be like Bart Simpson style mischief maker. Will Smith style, like Fresh Prince. Like, if you wore the hat with the rim up,
Hold on, give me a second. I'm pulling out.
Okay, everyone's gonna do it. Let's get it. This is now a drip stream. But yeah, I think my color. Yeah, my color is probably purple. He can't hear me.
I got a big head.
It's just unnecessary self-own. Just my man in the 8 Mile mindset. Yeah.
I don't know. Is this working?
That's the one.
Is this hot? Like, is it? That's hot. That's hot. Yeah, that's hot. Is this profile? Like,
yeah. I'm being flashback to like 2008, Bless.
Oh, that's what I'm talking. That, see, that, 2008 good. Was a great year. I think Carter 3 came out in 2008.
You look comfy. You look like the weather is good outside.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
You're bringing the summer vibes in January, Bless.
Yeah, I look at you and I want to be outside. Damn. So that's a good vibe.
Do you know what I feel like? Mm-hmm. I feel like talking about some video game news. So let's jump into today's stories, which include Troy Baker's NFT kerfuffle, PlayStation Now becoming PlayStation Then and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, it's a big Friday. Peacemaker episode 1-3 reactions are recording today and going up ASAP over on youtube.com/kindoffunny and as a Kinda Funny screencast. Everybody is playing some Everybody's Golf on Twitch right after this episode of KFGD to decide the rivalry of Andy versus Greg. Which, Barry, are you going to be playing? Are you going to be on the links?
No, I'm. It was one of those things that required it required us to re-download the game, mm-hmm. which I didn't do.
And that's where you draw the line.
But then also, if you remember, I think the last time we did like a big Everybody's Golf thing, I also joined. It was sometime like early last year. I think it might have been for one of our fundraiser streams. And for whatever reason, it didn't save my progress from when like Everybody's Golf was like super hot and everybody's playing it, and I put like a bunch of hours into that game. And yeah, all of my progress was erased, so I didn't have like the good golf clubs. I was like hitting like I was barely hitting shit, and it was not great. So I would have to put like a bunch of hours back into the game to even want to compete with Greg Miller. I don't want to be Andy Cortez today, honestly, who's got to compete with Greg Miller. And I don't think he's going to bring this up.
That's where I take offense, is that, like, you know, I mean, it's being branded as Greg versus Andy. But I feel like many other people are wildly being underrated. And when I say many other people, I mean me.
I mean, do you have good golf clubs?
Do I have good golf? Oh, in Everybody's Golf?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You have to have a good set to be able to hit it past like 50 yards or whatever.
This is like you can be good at the game, but if your loadout is booty, you're not getting very far. And that's exactly the advantage that Greg is probably counting on. And also Andy. Andy's played a bunch of it. But like their loadouts are what are gonna make the distinction between who them two and the rest of the crew.
Is that why we're playing Everybody's Golf and not Mario Golf? Is because they know, because Mario Golf, the playing field is equal, it's even.
Yeah, but also Mario Golf is Mario Golf, and it's weird.
And I also think if like they played Mario Golf, they know that like Gary Woodward would be like, oh, why wasn't I invited? And then it would be like a whole thing. Snug Slacks in the chat says, why does Barrett keep erasing data? Why does PlayStation keep fucking me? Is my question. You know,
that's a good question. That is a good question.
I mean, Bear, where are you getting these PlayStations? Are they out the
dumpster? Oh my god, it's not a black market PS5. It's not a black market PlayStation Vita. I got the Vita through Greg's Vita relocation program. It's on him.
I heard a lot of things about the relocation program.
Yeah, the relocation program seems to be
kind of
like
shady.
Yeah, I'm currently going for a relocation program myself. I'm relocating one of my Vitas to a friend, and I'm just like, I realized I had the Vita, but I do not know where the charger is, so I've been buying chargers. I will say, before we move on from Everybody's Golf, this week's Kinda Funny podcast, where Andy talks and Greg talk about rediscovering the character for Nick that they made, is one of the funniest side-splitting things I've ever heard and then seen happen. It is so funny. I was listening to the podcast, and just the description of Greg finding the Nick avatar that Andy made and their like response to it made me pause the podcast, go to YouTube, find the video version, and then look at what they were looking at, and
it's
it was really funny. And then I texted Andy, and I was like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen, and it made me laugh so, so much.
It's hilarious. Bear has it up right now. It is fucking hilarious. Because again, I forget where we talked about this. It might have been on a previous episode of KFGD this week. But the size proportion of Nick's head to his body is the best part of it, because it is like Greg towering over this tiny version of Nick. But like Nick, one, looking up at Greg, which is one funny in and of itself. But then Nick's head being the same size as Greg's head and being about the same size as his body as well.
Jesus.
This is like massive like me comedy energy, and like it's the looking up that really gets me, and like the fact that he's bare feet and looking up, and that's
so good.
But would that be the avatar that Nick plays with today? fun.
That, it captures Nick's energy, of course. Everybody's golf happening right after this episode of KFGD, so check that out on Twitch. And, of course, later on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyPlays. And then, of course, XCast records later today on Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. And that goes live for everyone tomorrow on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Pranksy. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, DoorDash, and Chime, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one. It seems like every day now on Twitter, there is what they call a main character, where somebody says a thing, somebody does a thing, and then everybody jumps on that thing, and that person becomes the main focus of, like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is happening right now? And that person today happens to be Troy Baker. I'm going to pull from IGN, where they have an article titled, Troy Baker is working with NFTs, but fans are unimpressed. This is Matt Perslow at IGN. Voice actor Troy Baker has announced he is partnering with an NFT company and his fans are less than impressed. Baker, who is most famous for his role as Joel in The Last of Us, revealed on Twitter that he's partnering with VoiceVerse, a company that helps create and promote AI-powered voice NFTs. These text-to-speech voices are designed with the intention of being used to create audiobooks, podcasts, read scripts, and other projects that require voiceover without the need for an actual voice actor. Quote, I'm partnering with VoiceVerse NFT to explore ways where together we might bring new tools to new creators to make new things and allow everyone a chance to own and invest in the IPs they create, said Baker before signing off. Quote, you can hate or you can create. What'll it be? End quote. At the time of writing, the tweet has vastly more replies and quote retweets than likes. I think it's safe to say Baker has been ratioed. The largely negative response to Baker's announcement includes a variety of concerns, including those about how NFTs impact artists, actors, and creative industries at large. At Brain Image on Twitter, in a reply, said regarding VoiceVerse NFT, quote, this is an outrageously bad idea. On top of the NFT bump, it's, quote, here is an AI tool that can render voice actors useless. You're not only pulling up the ladder for voice actors, just finding their feet, you're also devaluing your own work. Staggeringly, blisteringly terrible, end quote. They also screenshot some tweets from VoiceVerse NFT as last night. They also went through and tweeted through, like, hey, this is what VoiceVerse NFT is. This is what this is kind of what we stand for. And in their tweets, I'll just read their tweets. Their tweets read like this. This is VoiceVerse NFT. Voice NFTs provide unlimited perpetual access to underlying AI voice that the NFT represents ownership of. If you own a voice NFT, you can create all kinds of voice content and you'll own all of the IP. Imagine being able to create customized audiobooks, YouTube videos, e-learning lectures, or even podcasts with your favorite voice, all without the hassle of additional legal work. This also allows people with limited resources to access professional grade voices more easily. They go on, of course, and go to VoiceVerse NFT. And if you really want to read up on it, you can go to a website where they talk about who they are. Replies have tried to draw Baker's attention to how many artists have fallen victim to NFT scams and that the NFT movement as a whole has fundamental flaws in regards to its use as a creative platform. Others have drawn attention to the environmental impact of NFTs and their use in potential fraud and tax evasion. The NFT debate seems like it's going to be a major games industry talking point in 2022. Square Enix's president noted that he was exploring them in a New Year's letter, and this follows EA's claim of NFTs being an important part of the future. Sega has also hopped on the NFT bandwagon, but says it'll drop plans if fans see it as simple money-making. While the industry does seem to be pushing into the field, it hasn't stopped fans fighting back. Stalker 2's developers canceled its own NFT plans in less than an hour after fan backlash. Tam, when will it end?
Never, sadly. NFTs are in our future, whether we like it or not. And for the record, I think I have the misfortune of usually having some sort of NFT story when I'm on Kind of Funny Games Daily. And I've made my position clear on it, and which is no effing thanks. No fucking thanks. Not for tomorrow. NFTs, that's what they stand for. But like, I feel like there's the problem that NFTs and blockchain has is there is a good use for them. The people that are advocating for and doing the work on making making them viable in a good and meaningful way are utterly drowned out by opportunism and knobheads right now that are like, so right now we are going through the grifters, the scammers, and I'm not saying that's what Troy Baker and the crew that are doing this voice stuff are doing but the problem you have is if you think that you're coming into this thing with a genuine good idea, you have to recognize that you are entering a field and a space that is populated by 95% knobheads that are scamming people. Yep. So you cannot make a reasonable assumption that people are going to take your word for it being cool and nice and good. You have come to the party dressed all to the nines, and you're saying I'm cool and I'm nice, but everyone you brought with you, your entourage, is grifters. Everyone sees everyone else as grifters, and you're trying to be like, no, I'm not like them. It's like, no, you are. You look exactly like them. So that's how it works right now. I don't understand this, and the thing I always find is like, people put out their NFTs, and either one, it's a shit picture of some shitty JPEG that I could easily do better, and it's just designed so it's like, oh, I've put a ice cream on his head, now it's a different one, now it's sad, or it's some confused, like unclear pitch for something. Like, what the hell is this audio NFT thing? Because it's like intersecting with AI in a way that's very confusing. Secondly, maybe I just don't understand because I'm a dummy, but like, why are you selling the ability to synthesize your voice when your business and your world is like, my voice is an important part? Like, if I was like, hey, I've created an AI that makes it easy for people to write news and reviews as Tamor Hussein, and it replicates me near perfectly. Yeah. Why would I do that?
Yeah, here's technology that basically copies my
renders me
style.
Useless. It is
and,
big,
yeah, it
big
renders
like,
me useless.
Yeah, it is big Cheddar Bob in 8 Mile shooting myself in the leg energy. And it's like, why are you doing that? Stop.
Well, you touch on so many things that I think is at the heart of the issue with NFTs, where I don't think the technology is inherently bad, aside from it being bad for the environment. I think that is inherently bad. But I think in terms of what the applications for the technology could actually be, I think there could be promise there in the future if somebody figures this shit out. But for where we're at the infancy of it, it seems like it's been jumped on by so many scammers, so many people that are looking for opportunity, so many people that are trying to take it and have already turned it into something that has kind of ruined what it could have inevitably been. When it comes to NFTs, right, I think when it comes to a new technology like this, convincing people to jump on the bandwagon, to jump on the boat, involves what are the good results of this? What are the good ideas? How does this look in the final product? And every single utilization I've seen of NFTs has been bad. Like, not even like, oh, I can see where this is going, or oh, this seems like it has promise. It's been very bad. Like, NFT art, the art that I've seen so far online, I've not seen one piece of NFT art that made me go, no. Oh shit, that is next level. That's some Van Gogh shit, right? That is something I want to own and need. It seems like a lot of it is, here's copy and paste images that are marginally different from each other to give people something to own because they get to have a financial stake in it, and then possibly sell it later if it blows up. But it doesn't seem like it's going to blow up because so many people are jumping on the bandwagon. It seems like that. Huh. And when you translate it to this voice verse stuff, it seems like that on the other side, in terms of, so to go back to voice verse here, right, it is synthetic voice, right? It is, hey, I get to have this voice that I get to take and use in the metaverse and use to maybe make podcasts or maybe make content or maybe make audiobooks, right? And like, maybe as Troy Baker, you can sell your voice as an NFT that people can use.
Which
he
isn't even doing
products.
He's not even participating in like giving his voice for it, but
yeah, no. But like, that in theory would be the promise of it. And from the sense of being a Troy Baker who is at the top of his level, right? He is the person he is like the dude that you see in everything, right? It's him, Nolan North, and a few other names in terms of voice actors who are the famous video game voice actors in his space. He would be maybe one of a few people to be able to do that and get away with it, right? When you're talking, going back to what you're mentioning before, Tamora, in terms of shooting yourself in the leg, not only is this kind of shooting yourself in the leg in terms of yeah, then like you're supporting a future that doesn't support you. You're also supporting a future that doesn't support other voice actors that are on the come up, because then you are selling the ability to go, oh yeah, we're gonna have synthetic voices voice these video games, and fuck up and coming voice actors. It's gonna be the same Troy Baker synthetic voice and everything, right? Like that is kind of what the I guess progression of this thing is, this voice first stuff is.
Yeah, and like a couple of things I want to kind of pick up on that is for one thing, like there are the majority of NFT art based stuff is garbage, and I have seen a couple people do some stuff that when I see the NFT or the piece of art, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. Like Boss Logic, for example, has done a few that I'm like, wow, that looks awesome. And then there's Rafa Grassetti, I think his name, works for Sony Santa Monica, done a lot of God of War stuff, like done some cool stuff there, and a few other like artists that have done it. And these are people who I originally followed as artists and liked the work of, and then they moved into the NFT space. But that's not who is generally out there pimping their wares. It's like dude who is like, you know, put together a clip art and is selling it. The thing about that stuff is, who are you speaking to when you promote that stuff? Because to be part of that ecosystem, the only way to like take use of purchasing NFTs is to be part of the, you know, Bitcoin, the digital currency, you know, the blockchain world, right? And that hasn't hit mainstream kind of penetration. I'm not using it, you're not using it, and this is anecdotal, but like, you know, the average person doesn't understand and isn't using these kind of like spaces in a normal everyday way. The majority of the people who are using it are the people who are there to make money and try and do get rich quick streams, schemes, grifters and opportunists. So effectively, you are taking whatever your thing is, whether it's art or voice service or whatever it may be, and you're just taking it to these people who are like in this closed environment and are just there to make, and you're just selling stuff back and forth to each other. You're like reinforcing this, like, really,
it's a pyramid scheme.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's a pyramid scheme. Like, it's straight up MLM cultish shit, where it's like, you've got this group of people who collectively you have agreed this is a good thing and you're not going to talk shit about it. And while you can, you're going to try and milk it and make loads of money off of it. And like, that's what you're doing. From the outside, you're not convincing people who are like outside it to be like, yeah, this is great. This is normal. I'm going to get into this. You're like tricking people who are susceptible and trust you. Like in the case of someone like a Troy Baker or like anyone who's got a name, even a big name, you know, a creator, like they trust you. They believe that you won't lead them astray. And that is a kind of perhaps a symptom of like celebrity and parasocial relationships where, you know, someone might look at a big name voice actor or a artist or a streamer that they love and have spent a lot of time and be like, this person would never lead me astray. Reminder, that person does not give a shit about you. Like that person, you are just a name into them. Like you don't exist to them. So like they have no qualms with putting this stuff out there. And that is dangerous for someone who's perhaps like less, concerned with the moral value of it and like that leading people astray. You know, I'm not saying all celebrities people are bad. Like we're people in positions of public, we're public facing and like, We generally try and treat people who watch us and as respectfully as we can, but there are people out there who will not do that. And like NFT shit is being used right now to kind of take advantage of vulnerable people, and I think this is just at the very least is a bad PR move on sadly Troy's part. Like Troy is someone that I know and I have spoken to, and he seems like he's a very nice person and like very switched on. I think he's been led, not led astray, but like, you know, him and various other people. At the very least, before you do this NFT shit, think about the environment you are doing it in. No one trusts it. There's nothing but negative sentiment around it. Anyone who even tries, even if they're coming from a place where they're like, I get it. I figured out a way to do it as well as I can. You're not going to be able to distinguish yourself because you are literally surrounded front to back, top to bottom by grifters and people who are taking advantage. You are not going to convince other people that you're doing the right thing in a chorus of wrong voices. Just don't do it. It's bad PR.
Yeah.
Leave it.
And I mean, you mentioned, right, you don't think it's the necessarily them being led astray. I do think being led astray has parts to do with it, especially when you talk about, like, when you talk about people like the stalker devs, right, of, like, these guys who showed off their game at an Xbox presentation, seem like it's going to be very promising, and then announce the NFT thing, and then very quickly realize, like, oh, shit, people do not like this, right? Like, me and you have the benefit of being extremely online and, like, understanding what the conversations are around things, and then also being well-read because of the fact that, like, we have to cover news and we're reading this shit every day. So we're kind of there with the day-to-day, and a lot of our audience, because they listen to the show and because a lot of our audience is also very online, they're there for the day-to-day of, oh, yeah, okay, no, we know what the deal with NFTs are, right? For the stalker devs or for a Trey Baker or for any other person or outlet that might be on the solid smaller side. I don't necessarily lump was it Square Enix? I think it was Square Enix. Yeah, I don't lump in a Square Enix or the bigger publishers into this necessarily. But on people on the smaller end of it, who are either a person or a small team that are like, hey, we could use money to fund this thing, or on the individual side, right? Hey, I could just use money, right? Like, hey, I want to get rich. Oh, this guy's approached me telling me, like, hey, if I partner with them and on this new technology, I can get money. Oh, that seems easy. Yeah, let's do it. But then you don't do the research, and then you just put it out there and realize, like, ah, shit, people hate this. Oh, man. Like, this is not me putting words in Troy Baker's mouth. I don't know if he regrets or doesn't regret this shit. But, like, I think you put it out there and you go, ah, fuck, I fucked up, right? And, like, not realize that once you actually look into it, people have already made their minds up, and now you've just done a thing where it's bad PR. You've put dirt into the water and dirtied it up, essentially.
Yeah, again, like, and there's also something to kind of think about is, I'm not saying this is what happened to Troy or anyone else involved, like, in NFTs. There's also a kind of insidious, not smaller, but a cottage industry of people who are just there to make money, finding people who have platforms and a following, and convincing them that it's a good thing, and misleading them. So you do get a lot of situations where a celebrity is like, oh, I'm going to do this NFT thing because I've been told by this other person who's an expert. These are people who present themselves basically as, like, bank managers and financial advisors. So, like, you trust them. But actually, they're just bros on the internet who are just trying to use you and your clout to get more money. So it's like, there's a whole, like, vicious cycle of people, you know, taking advantage of others. And at the end of the day, it's a small group of people, very, very small group of people that are actually making money off of it. And it is almost certainly not you. So think about that.
There you go. Tam, enough about NFTs. You mentioned that, like, we're going to deal with this forever. I hope it goes away. And I think I have hope that it goes away, at least on this level, sometime soon, because this is one of the things where it's like, man, thank God that apparently everybody's in agreement about this, right? People really don't like NFTs, except for the people that really like NFTs. As far as I can tell from, like, the audiences, even people who are usually on opposing sides of issues on the internet, I'm seeing everybody go, nah, fuck this. This is a scam. We don't want this in our games. We don't want this in our entertainment. Yeah. And that gives me hope that this will get, it'll get shifted away to some extent until it's implemented in a way that actually is promising, actually is something to get excited about. As long as it stays something that feels like a scam and looks like a scam and operates as a scam, I think we'll see it go away sooner than later, and then probably come back in a better form. That's what I imagine.
I think it'll calm down. Well, I think it's going to... I don't think we've reached the point where the bubble is ready to burst. I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. And then the bubble will burst, and then it'll go away for a while and come back, and we'll be like, we figured it out. It's not called NFT. It's called something else.
Yeah, microtransactions 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. I think NFT is now like a poison well where no recovering that. There's no PRing that back into people's good graces. It's done. And also, like, the way I think the thing that frustrates me is the people who roll up and they're like, no, you just don't understand. It's like, no, everyone understands. Like, those are the people that I find most dangerous, who are out there defending people and defending NFTs and being like, no, you just don't understand it. It's like, no, we all understand it.
Yeah.
And we also recognize that you're in the business of telling people that we don't understand it to try and cause, you know, perpetuate how long we have to deal with it.
Exactly. And I just hope I don't have to talk about NFTs for the rest of the year, because it reminds me of like when like COVID first hit, right? And COVID, of course, like we had to talk about, because that was affecting everything and that was a worldwide thing, right? But like I get tired of talking about the same shit every single day, and I know people often get tired of being like, oh, another thing about NFTs. I'm right there with y'all, but
yeah, you know, and before we do
story, we gotta discover it.
Yeah, before we do move on, Troy, I believe, did this morning follow up with a tweet, and it was kind of like, hey, I'm trying to figure this out, and I'm glad I'm part of this discussion. And it was very much a case of like, I don't know if you're able to find it, Barrett, but I don't want to misquote it, but it seemed like he was like, figuring this stuff out, lads. Okay. Yeah, there it is.
I don't know. It just, yeah. I'm just a story teller out here trying to tell my story to whomever.
Yeah, that's the part where I'm like,
he's a creative. He's a voice actor.
Yeah, I think that's him saying like, I'm trying to find new ways to do stuff, but just the storyteller thing line isn't gonna work when you're within like NFTs. Like, you've got more interesting ways. Yeah, you've got more interesting. Like, Troy's insanely talented, and I'm sure he'll find a better way to be creative. And I look forward to it.
TM. Let's hop into story number two. Sony is pulling PlayStation Now cards from retail stores. This is James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Sony is removing physical voucher cards for its PlayStation Now subscription service from retail stores. The cards enable customers to buy, top up, or gift subscriptions with a physical purchase rather than doing it through their console. But GamesBeat reports these items are now being withdrawn. The site claims an internal message sent to staff at UK retailer Game orders that all PlayStation Now cards are being removed, or all PlayStation Now cards be removed by the end of Wednesday, January 19th. There are also claims that retailers in the US and Canada began removing these items several weeks ago. GamesIndustry.biz reached out to Game for confirmation but received no response. However, a Sony spokesperson confirmed the change to GamesBeat. Quote, globally, we are moving from PlayStation Now gift cards to focus on our current cash denomination, PlayStation gift cards, which can be redeemed for PlayStation Now, the spokesperson said. The news comes shortly after a Bloomberg report that PlayStation will be overhauling its PlayStation Plus subscription with new tiers that integrate PlayStation Now and a retro catalog as part of its efforts to compete with Xbox Game Pass. Tam, PlayStation Now seems to be coming PlayStation before, PlayStation then, PlayStation past, PlayStation previous.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Like, I think that wrapping it all up into a PS Plus subscription is the smartest move, mainly because I think PS Now has come a long way, and it sadly has been kind of saddled with the reputation of when it first debuted, and it wasn't great, as both in terms of like a performance and economical proposition. But since then, it's been updated with loads of games, features, and the performance is way better. I mean, we on Kind of Funny played through Metal Gear 4 on it, right, Barrett?
Yep.
And it seemed to be pretty good. And like, I every
just
now
make
and then,
sure you're, you know, you're hardwired in, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, connect that Ethernet.
Yeah, but make sure you're always connected by Ethernet if you can.
Especially if you're playing fighting games. I'm tired.
Yeah, exactly. Stop, please. Please.
All right, teleporting all over the stage. Get out of here.
But yeah, I think like, I think it's due a kind of identity refresh. And I think it's due a kind of like another PR push behind it to remind people it's there and kind of give people an updated look at what it is, so that it is a compelling service. There's a lot of games on there that I know people would probably be super into playing, not just Metal Gear Solid 4. And I think that by wrapping it up into PlayStation Plus, and that also kind of justifies them cranking up the price slightly as well. I'm sure that they're looking for any reason in this day and age to add a little more expensive tier. And I personally believe that a little more, a pricier PlayStation Plus subscription that includes PlayStation Now, it would be a pretty good value proposition for me. So I hope this is an indication. The fact that these cards are being pulled is an indication that they are taking it seriously, and they are going to be introducing that PlayStation Plus upgrade with PlayStation Now. However, I do feel like it needs to come with like a new crop of games, and they need to be big kind of names for them to make a big splash with it, if you get what I mean.
I'm right there with you. It's from the reports that we got before about Project Spartacus, it seems like some of the big moves they're making are making PS1 games backwards compatible as well as PS2 games. I imagine they got to expand out the PS2 games if that's going to be a feature for them. But yeah, PS1, PS2, PS3, that way you're going to have the full gamut of PlayStation console representation in there at the highest tier of it. I'm with you that I want to see them add big games there, and not just big games, big new games. I think PlayStation Now, in terms of what it has now, it has some good heavy hitters, right? Like we mentioned, it has Metal Gear Solid on there. It has the entire God of War franchise is on there,
which is pretty nifty there.
Which is awesome. And there are quite a few other, like a lot of PlayStation first party stuff from like the PS3 era is on there. It's only streaming, which of course is a big hump for people to get over, especially me, right? I don't like streaming those games. But
can you not download games?
You can't download PS3 games. And that's
PS4
games because of the cell processor bullshit or whatever. And that's the biggest thing is like I hope that they've found a way, bless. I hope they found a way, man.
Yeah, and I think that they would be a big bummer if they didn't, because for Xbox, right, with what Xbox Game Pass is, there are a lot of good bullet points, like big feature points for Xbox Game Pass that can throw up in terms of why this thing works, right? One of those things is the fact that you can download everything, whether it be Xbox 360, original Xbox, Xbox One, you can download your games. Another bullet point is the new games, right? Just this month, next month, the amount of new games that we're getting on there is very exciting. Rainbow Six Extraction, the Ana Crucis, right? Like, that alone is great, but then you're also getting other things that, like Mass Effect Legendary Edition and other games that are coming there that is making a big deal, right? Nobody Saves the World. So that's the other bullet point. And then, like, I forget what the third bullet point was, but, like, there's a lot of bullet points in there in terms of, like, why Xbox Game Pass. Oh, the Ultimate Subscription, right? Being able to bundle that in with Xbox Gold and what that deal gets you. I think that is the main thing here when it comes to why do you do Project Spartacus and how do you do it. I think you look at what the other side is doing and look at how standardized that is becoming in terms of how people talk about it and in terms of how people prop that up. I think you look at that and go, well, we can't just continue to have PS Plus and PS Now be different. We got to loop it. We got to lump them together somehow. And we got to find good deals for people. We got to find good value for people. So I think that's what that is.
Yeah. Did you see that patent thing that floated around yesterday?
No, what is this?
So Barrett, I'll send you a link to a number one video game website on the internet, GameSpot.com. But this may or may not have some bearing on what's going on, but Sony filed a patent last year, and it got approved, and it's basically by Mark Cerny, there's some indication that it could help with backwards compatibility. I think the technicalities of it, I'm not 100% sure of, but basically it allows the PlayStation 5 to mimic like processor clock speeds of older hardware, which is a tricky thing when you're trying to do backwards compatibility. But if this is a thing that they've figured out, it might mean that either the PlayStation 5 is, you know, there's multiple applications, but the dream application is they've now figured out how to do old console backwards compatibility way better on the PlayStation 5. Of course, the other thing is like, oh, we figured out how to do PlayStation 4 games better on PlayStation 5. But the dream is that. And if they integrate that into something like PlayStation Now and then introduce the functionality to like, oh, you can download PS3 games now and it will run really well. That would be pretty, pretty awesome. And that would be a massive, massive like bonus for PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely huge. I would love that. And yeah, I think that is something that at the very least they had to be thinking about, if not actively working on, because that is a big thing that feels like it's missing as somebody who plays PlayStation, right, and is a fan of PlayStation from PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3, not being able to have PlayStation 3 games downloadable and PlayStation 2 library on PlayStation Now is just not great whatsoever. There's like 18 games on there and like some pretty random picking. Dark Cloud's on there, which I like, but it's like, how many people are me that are like, oh yeah, fucking Dark Cloud, let's fucking go.
Right? It's God Hand. I want to play God Hand.
Give us God Hand. Give a God, for goodness sake. Tim, if people want a great deal, you know where they can go? Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where they can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Relationships aren't perfect, and MeUndies is celebrating our imperfectly perfect matches with their new Valentine's Day collection. I don't have to read the ad anymore. I can just tell you I'm wearing MeUndies, ladies and gentlemen. Always have been, always. Well, you know, not always, I guess. But what happened is I had a bunch of underwear I didn't like that much, and then I tried a couple pairs of MeUndies, and I was like, these are amazing, and I ordered a whole bunch of MeUndies, and now it's all I wear. And I am due for more. Maybe I'll do it here. Back to the ad. Gifting underwear for Valentine's Day? Wow, real groundbreaking. Express your one-of-a-kind relationship when you match your bottom half to your better half in fun limited edition prints. And if you're single, don't worry, you can mingle in matching pairs with your friends or even get dog hoodies and buddy bands to match your four-legged pal. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For a limited time only, get 25% off your first order of matching pairs for Valentine's Day. And as a first-time purchaser, you can also get 15% off in free shipping right now to your door. To get 25% off matching pairs, 15% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Guess what I use all the time, ladies and gentlemen? DoorDash. That's right. I come down here. I record the shows. I come upstairs. Jen's taking care of our newborn. Is a three-month-old? Our three-month-old. And guess what? We're both too tired to make food, so we order on DoorDash. We do it all the time, and you should too. You've got back-to-back meetings, errands to run, and chores to take care of. What's the secret to clearing your to-do list? A little help from DoorDash. Along with the restaurants you love, you can now get groceries and other essential items delivered to your door with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items in under an hour. With over 300,000 partners, you can support your neighborhood go-tos. Choose from your favorite national chains like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download, that's you, download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES2021. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code GAMES2021. Don't forget, that code is GAMES2021. 21 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change. Terms apply. Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees, no overdraft fees, no foreign transaction fees, and no service fees. Get all that and then some with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card. They've also got over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs all over the place, like at most Walgreens, 7-Elevens, or CVS's. You can access your money when you need it, where you need it. Make sure you make the first good decision of the new year and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at a MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Sometimes, pay anyone instant transfers can be delayed. The recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds.
Story number three. Respawn isn't canceling a secretive third game after losing its director. Now, here's the thing, Tam. Did I copy over the story and forget to copy over the outlet and an article or author? Yes, I did. Oh, but you know, no, you don't have to look it up because I got it. It is from Jeff Grubb over at GameSpeed, which I should have known. Actually,
you shouldn't have credited him then. You know, just
yeah, I should have been like, yo,
just
I wrote
throw
this
the
shit.
Entire story out on.
I wrote this shit on Blessing.com. The article reads like this from Jeff Grubb. Respawn,
you own Blessing.com? Is that a thing?
No, I definitely don't own Blessing.com. Are you kidding me? Someone hurry,
buy it from under him and then sell it as an NFT.
God, I would love to own Blessing.com. I would sell it and get rich. You know how many people are probably looking for Blessing.com? Do you know how many churches out there are probably trying to get Blessing.com?
I went to Blessing.com and it's like,
look it up, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's just a place where you can buy emails. So you can buy emails at like that are Tanya at blessing.com.
Yeah, type in blessing.com and my Google Chrome moves immediately. Like, this is not secure.
Yeah, this is not secure. Like, the real blessing is not secure.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, this is an interesting website.
God damn. All right. Damn.
How fucking dare you, first of all, Tam? How fucking dare you, all right? You know, I told you all that shit in confidence. You bring it up to the world and everybody. How fucking dare you? Jumping into story number three. Respawn is losing a creative director. Mohamed Alavi announced on social media that he is leaving the studio to pursue his next adventure. Alavi has spent his career at Infinity Ward and Respawn Entertainment, and he is best known as the designer of the No Russian level in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Most recently, he worked as creative director on Respawn's next big secret project. The studio does not plan to scrap that work, according to people familiar with the game. Publisher Electronic Arts expects it to launch in 2024 or 2025. Respawn has only ever confirmed small tidbits about Alavi's game. It is a third project alongside continuing development of Apex Legends and the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. The studio has also previously said it is a single-player adventure. In addition to those details, I've learned it is a first-person shooter with AAA ambitions, and the design team is striving for mobility and style as guiding principles. This third game is not, however, a sequel to Titanfall 1 and 2. Tim, what is Respawn's third game?
Interesting one, right? Like, the funny thing about this one is, like, they're like, it's not Titanfall 1 or 2 sequel, but then they use words which are distinctly Titanfall, like, yeah, words mobility, like mobility, style, and AAA ambitions in a first-person shooter. I think it's probably if we're to believe that it's not Titanfall or Titanfall adjacent, like a spin-off, I'm of the mind, like, I imagine if I had to place a bet and someone was like, gun to my head, you need to place a bet on what it is right now, I would say it's a Titanfall spinoff of some sort, because they just have done so much work and they've got proven success with a Titanfall spinoff with Apex, and there's so much, and they keep saying Titanfall's not gone, it's part of our lineage, we're gonna bring it back. It makes the most sense for them to do Titanfall spinoff style things. But obviously, they are, of all the studios in EA's family right now, they're the ones that if I was in charge of EA, they're the ones I would trust most with a new IP, come up with something new for us. Because, you know, DICE ain't doing it, they're working on Battlefield, and, you know, all the others are working on weird sports things. So the only studio you really have is, I mean, you have Motive and that kind of stuff, but they've got their hands full. Mm-hmm. Respawn is the studio that I would say, hey, can you come up with a new IP for us, but keep it like in the same wheelhouse as, you know, the stuff that we're known for. So I feel like there's as much chance of it being a the likelihood is that it's a new IP, but I feel like the safe bet for them would be a Titanfall spinoff, if you get what I mean.
We're on the exact same wavelength. I have like I have like three possibilities. One of them I think is the likely one. One of them is like the lesser likely but also likely one, and then the other one is like it's not going to happen, but I'll shit my pants if it would. The one that I think is most likely is something that is in the Titanfall universe. I wouldn't be surprised if it has Apex in the title. If it is a Apex Legends single player game, because Apex Legends now is the way more popular title than Titanfall, right? As much as Titanfall fans might hurt to hear that, but it is, right? And Apex Legends, I think, has that selling power. And if you're to put out an Apex Legends single player game, a single player campaign that operated on the level of something like a Titanfall 2 campaign, that would fucking hit. That would be
Apex Origins is a platform, and it launches with campaigns for Bangalore and Caustic, and then like Halo, it will be expanded upon with campaigns for each of the other Apex Legends. When a new Apex Legend is introduced to Apex Legends, the Battle Royale, it will simultaneously have a single-player Origin campaign in Apex Origins that you buy separately.
That'd be fucking insane. But yeah, like I think that is the number one most likely. This is a Titanfall / Apex universe game that is a single player that is taking advantage of those IP that probably has Apex in the title. I think right under that is new IP, you know, something that can stand alongside. Hey, people loved us for Titanfall. Titanfall just isn't selling the way that we want Titanfall to sell, and EA doesn't want us to make another one. Let's make something like that. Let's make a spiritual successor to the Titanfall 2 campaign that is a brand new IP that does have the mobility, but it's something that is fresh and new that is going to get our audience super excited. I think that is also something that's very possible. Way on the this is not fucking happening level of it, Tam. That would be a dream scenario for me, but I know that this is not happening. Tam, do you know what IP that EA owns that they don't make games in anymore that kind of fits the bill in terms of everything that's spoken about here?
Is it Def Jam?
It is not. No, it is not.
Does EA even own Def Jam?
That's a good question. I don't know if EA owns Def Jam. I think Def Jam owns Def Jam.
No, as in like Fight for New York and like who? I thought it was an EA game, right?
It was an EA Esports Big did Def Jam.
Yeah, originals. Yeah, they own that shit. Bring it back. Where is it?
God, I'll love that. But no, I don't think that fits the bill in terms of a first-person shooter with mobility. I'm talking mainly about Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge. I knew you were talking about Mirror's Edge.
It's not going to happen. It would never happen. Because, again, that's like I think DICE develops that game. Mirror's Edge Catalyst came out in, like, 2015, and it came out to a thud, even though I kind of liked it. I would fucking go crazy if we were at an E3, and then a Respawn logo popped up, and then a Mirror's Edge logo popped up. My head would explode, damn.
Yeah, I mean, like, who does parkour in a first person better than Respawn now? Very few.
Very few.
No one did it. Yeah, like DICE barely did it well in the original game. Like, I think they got there, and then the second game showed that they might not have a good as grasp on it as we thought. But like, Respawn's got it down. Like, they got it. Maybe like the folks that make Dying Light are the others. And that's about it. But like, I don't think it's as far away on the unlikely scale as you might think, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the sellability of Mirror's Edge, that's the thing that puts it as the way unlikely. I know part of why Mirror's Edge Catalyst didn't sell is because that game just wasn't great, but I think that combined with, like, you take Mirror's Edge and put it up against anything else Respawn does, and Mirror's Edge just isn't going to, I think, have that selling power unless you really knock this one out of the park and make it something that makes everybody go, oh shit, we gotta check this thing out. Jeff Grubb in chat says that I can ask and confirm that it's not Mirror's Edge if you want. Jeff Grubb, I'm gonna need you not to do that. Because I'm not in the emotional place this morning to hear some news like that.
Grubb, do it. Do it.
No, don't do that. You can't rip that band-aid off. All right. Let me dream. Let a man dream. All right. There are a few things I hold on to in this life. That is polos, that is good tea, and that is that Mirror's Edge can someday come back.
Jeff, save that for Grubb's next. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I swear to God, if Jeff Grubb puts out a video debunking this Mirror's Edge thing, I'm taking the week off. It's gonna be one of the ones where it's like, hey man, hey Greg Tim, I need some time off just for like emotional, like I need to recover.
Emotional,
like,
damage.
Emotional damage. But yeah, I'm looking forward to whatever this Respawn game is, even though it seems like it's far away. 2024 or 2025 seems like that puts it at a, hey, no, this is AAA, we're taking our time with this, and it's going to be a big single player campaign game. And so, you know, can't wait for it. Take your time, Respawn. I'll be there when it releases. Let's round out the Roper Report with story number 4. A PS5 version of Apex Legends has been spotted on PSN. This is Chris Skolian at Video Games Chronicle. It looks like Apex Legends is set to get a new gen upgrade soon. According to reliable PlayStation patch tracker, PlayStation Game Size, a PS5 version of Apex Legends has appeared on the PSN database. The new edition is reportedly 80 gigabytes in size, but this doesn't include any other updates that may be released alongside it. At the moment, PS5 and Xbox Series X/S owners have to play the PS4 or Xbox One versions of Apex Legends, respectively, because there are no bespoke new-gen versions. Respawn said back in August 2021 that it was still planning to release a new-gen update for Apex Legends, but wasn't ready to commit to a launch window at the time. So there you go, Apex Legends fans. If you're like me and you're waiting for that PS5 version, there's hope. Seems like it might be coming sooner than later.
Yeah, 80 gigabytes is beefy. Hopefully that just means it looks nice. And I mean, like they released a new version of Fortnite, right? For PS5, and it, as far as I know, is like it's popping and it's nice. So
Tam, let me tell you about that 120 hertz frames per second shit. It's wild. It's a whole new world, bro.
If they can do the same and make it nice, give it a few nice bells and whistles for PS5, I'm well up for it. Very excited.
Yeah, Tam. I can't wait for this PS5 update to Apex Legends to come out, but that might be far away, might be closer than we think. We'll have to see. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Drop Shops today, where would I look?
You would look at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily host each and every weekday.
Do 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 Out today, we got Airy Dreamscape for Xbox One and PC, Operation Zeta for Xbox One and PC, God of War for PC, Superland 6 Inches Under for PC.
That's what she said.
New Home Medieval Village for PC, Konsei the second turn for Switch, Pinball Jam for Switch. Franklin and Lamar returned to GTA Online this week in Double Down, not the KFC sandwich, a new co-op mode in which players step into the pair's shoes for a weapon-heavy, close-quarters battle across a variety of Southern San Andreas locations against a shotgun-wielding opposing team with infinite lives. And then Crystal Clash as free-to-play. Crystal Clash, well, verbatim here it says Crystal Clash as free-to-play today on Steam. I think that means that Crystal Clash is becoming free-to-play or is launching free-to-play today on Steam. So if you're a big Crystal Clash fan, get out there and go play some Crystal Clash. We got an NVIDIA GeForce update for you. We've partnered with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games, like God of War. Of course, the PC version has launched, and it launches with NVIDIA DLSS and Reflex, powered by AI rendering technology on GeForce RTX GPUs. DLSS speeds up frame rates in God of War while preserving the game's stunning graphic detail to provide image quality similar to native resolution. When enabled, performance is boosted by up to 45% at 4K, allowing gamers to play God of War with phenomenal graphics, higher frame rates, and uncompromised image quality. New dates for you. Final Fantasy XIV will be resuming digital sales starting on January 25th, 2022 at 5 p.m. JST. Ikai is coming to PC, PS5, PS4, Nintendo Switch, March 29th, and then Aquamarine launches for PC on Thursday, January 20th, 2022. TM, people can, of course, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where they can get the show ad-free, but they can also write in with their reader mail, just like Lucid Dream did. Lucid Dream writes in and says, random thought. Sony's Spartacus update to PlayStation Plus should include streaming access to the movies they produce, like the upcoming Uncharted or the Spider-Man movies, because they currently aren't available on other platforms. I think it could help them compete with Game Pass by offering something unique and leveraging Sony's existing content in a positive way. Any thoughts?
I mean, sure. I think that isn't as likely as we think it. It's not as likely. Even though we think it makes a lot of sense, I think what's more likely is some sort of like promotional hook. Like if you have a subscription here, remember they did that thing where you can, if you buy the game, you get cinema tickets or something like that, like discounted cinema tickets. Like I think we'll get a lot of that kind of stuff. Which
or you'll
is
get
not
the Powers TV show.
Yeah, you Jesus.
I forgot about that.
I forgot about that. Yeah, everybody I think you're more likely to get like a discount to a subscription service for wherever that is. Like, oh, if you know, you get a sub for Disney Plus or whatever it is, some sort of perk. I would love to see them be like, hey, you know, here's the Uncharted movie for a limited window. It's available. And then after that, it's going to go elsewhere. Like, I would love that. But I think that ultimately the deals that they need to make with Hollywood and the movie publishing and viewing industry are messy and tricky.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I also think that it reminds you a bit of Xbox's E3 2013, where it was TV, movies, Call of Duty, here's a dog in Call of Duty, right? Where I think the audience, PlayStation audience, as an audience of like people who play games, don't really care that much about movies on the service. It probably could be an easy thing if they really wanted to crunch the numbers and go, hey, yeah, we can put PlayStation Productions movies on PS Plus and add that as an extra benefit. I think it's a thing they could do. I don't think it's a thing that's worth doing. I don't think it's a thing that really ups the numbers on PS Plus like that, because I don't think any of us are really looking for PS Plus as a way to watch movies or a way to keep up with those.
Yeah, pardon if you already mentioned this, but I think it'd be something more similar to, like, doesn't Game Pass every once in a while be like, oh, Disney Plus, if you have Game Pass, you can get like a Disney Plus for
here's half off Spotify.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what PS Love You XOXO co-host, Greg Miller has to say about this. What's up, Greg?
I just want to know if you're still golfing today.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Just making sure. We don't want to start without you. No, that's not true. You dress like that all the time. Don't act like that's why. If your character in the game matches this outfit, then I'll believe it. But if not, not a chance.
Damn, now I got to change my outfit. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm golfing. All right, see ya. Tim, what were you about to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, I think I was going to say, I First thing I want Sony to do is sort out Crunchyroll on PlayStation, because it's an absolute nightmare. Mm. Like, get your shit together. Do you know how messed up that app is? And I don't think that shit has been updated in 27 years.
Same with Funimation, man.
Funimation as well. Dude, absolutely
Funimation crashes
awful.
On me like every like 20 minutes, and it's like, we can't play this. This video is unavailable, and then you restart it, and it's fine.
Embarrassing.
It's dude. Embarrassing. When you load up the app, it crashes and stuff. It's embarrassing, guys. Come on.
Dude. Like, I just want to watch my anime. Stop making it hard for me.
Watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, okay?
Yeah, it's over and over again. What am I currently watching?
Yeah.
I've been rewatching Mob Psycho 100, which is great.
I've been told to watch it because of how much I love One Punch Man. I've been putting off.
Mob Psycho 100, without ruffling too many feathers, is considerably better than One Punch Man.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I got to get into
what
it.
Yeah.
That's what
I've heard.
Yeah, Mob's, One Punch Man has a gimmick, and it wears that gimmick out in season one. Mob Psycho 100 has themes, nuance, characterization, and actual narrative that can carry it through multiple seasons. Great.
I'm on a few things right now, right? I got to hop back on Demon Slayer because I finished season one, and I know there's the movies and then also season two, but that shit isn't on Netflix, and I watched all of it on Netflix.
The movie, man. Holy shit.
That's why I be here, and that's what I've been hearing.
It made me cry, and like I liked the first season fine, and like, dude, that movie made me tear up. It was one of my favorite movies last year.
Yeah, so I got to hop back into that, and then also I am back on the Hunter x Hunter train. I fell off the Hunter x Hunter train because I did not like, what was it, season three, arc three? Basically, it's the tournament arc I was not fucking with when they introduced Ren and all that shit. Yeah, I was like, this is too much. Like, they're over-explaining this stuff. I don't like it. But now that I'm, like, way past it, I'm like, okay, I get what they're doing because this is kind of complicated. But now that I'm not at Chimera. I'm at the game one when they're in the video game.
Oh, okay, Greed Island.
Probably don't care. But, like, yeah, Greed Island. That's where I'm at right now. I'm having a great time.
Chimera arc is next. And let me tell you, that is, like, 9 million episodes. Good luck.
That's what I hear. But enough about that. Let's hop into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Some dude wrote in and said 2008 was famously a bad year. How could it have been a bad year when Carter 3 came out? That's what I say.
No way, overrated. Let's move on.
Wow. I don't know how I feel about that one, Tim.
He's You have to respect his output, his lyrical content, and so he's got less genuine classics than he has, than a lot of others. I think
his mixtape run is legendary.
Mixtape run legendary because the actual songs and the lyrics and the bars are amazing? Or is it legendary because he put out a lot of mixtapes very quickly? Is his hustle legendary, or is his lyrical content and production and rapping legendary? That's all I'm saying.
See, this is a conversation that I would love to have with you if we were in like the kindoffunny.com or kind of funny games daily. Like, you're wrong.
Tam, come on to the next episode.
I have a long
episode.
Rant to go on about
Let's go
that
on
point alone.
The next episode,
right?
Of the next
listen
gen
to
podcast.
No Ceilings. Listen to the Dedication 3. Listen to his Upgrade You freestyle, Tam. There's a lot of classics out there that Lil Wayne
plays. Let's have Tam on the next episode of Next Gen Podcast, and we can settle it there. How about that?
Okay, fair. Nanobiologist writes in and says, Miss News, Halo 3 servers are shutting down. RIP the GOAT. Let's see. Zach Menninger says, Sony Pictures just signed a new contract for streaming with movies going to Stars for the first 18 months. I believe then Disney Plus after that. So that's more context to that conversation.
Okay. All I'm saying is very inconsistent as a rapper. That's all I'm saying.
You're right.
Some
you're
absolute trash tier shit in there. Like, Lil Wayne's got some great songs, and then he's got like some of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life.
You are absolutely right. That is correct. I think he has really low lows. He has really high highs.
Save it.
He has really high highs. When he said real G's move in silence like lasagna,
that is his best line.
I lost my mind.
That's
are you kidding
best
me?
Line.
You
yeah,
know how many G's for line. Lasagna? You know how many of them are silent? At least one. The next week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. On Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Wednesday, it's me and Andy. Thursday, it's Greg and Tim. And on Friday, it's Blessing and Tim. He also said, my name is Wheezy F Baby, and the F is for phenomenal. And so I understand what you're saying,
Tim. This is what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Everybody's Golf, the face-off between Greg and Andy. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Sometimes we even talk about Lil Wayne and anime unprovoked. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.